Son, thank you. Would you carry that down there for your adopted mother? Thank you. I'll crack the jokes, boys. You just carry the stuff. I got to keep a handle on them, I'm telling you. Isn't it good to laugh in church? My goodness, if you can't laugh here, this is a place where the redeemed are and can be, where prayers are answered and hearts are healed. I'm so glad to introduce to you the speaker this morning. She always says, she's not even nice. She goes, minimize the introduction. No chance. Born and raised in a pastor's home on 7700 West 75th Street in Overland Park, Kansas, all of her life. Served God since she was old enough to know how. Attended Evangel University and graduated, attended Missouri State University and received a master's degree there. Studying another about 3 hard, strenuous years on my health and pastor LPC. She's a licensed professional counselor. 33 years president, or 33 years as chairman of the executive director of the counseling department of Central Bible College. And I always joke, I love some of my favorite jokes. She taught 3 areas of psychology, and I was on the board of Central Bible College, and so they designed them around me. She taught general psychology. She taught abnormal psychology, and she taught adolescent psychology. And after 33 years, I graduated all 3 classes. She's an author and a writer. She's been published in a magazine that had a 500,000 monthly publication under a false name, wouldn't even use her name. She's been invited twice to the Oxford Roundtable of Education. And she's the best wife and a mother a man could know and a great pastor. Amen. Would you welcome Pastor Ruth as she comes this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you so much. She's actually Dr. Ruth, but she said, don't do that one. So, so you old folks, you'll understand that. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
You want to kiss me?
Turn me off. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you that are here today. And as been mentioned, it's a different Mother's Day, but it's going to be a good Mother's Day. Because the God of the mothers is still in control. And he's going to be with us. God has given us all assignments in life. You might call it God's purpose and plan for my life. You might call it I'm following God's will. But Psalms 139 says this. All the days for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All of your days were written in your book before they came to be. I don't know what that says to you, but I know what that says to me. God is never taken by surprise. And some things that you thought were accidents and tragedies, God knew about and has written them in his book. While God loves the whole world, You are not on a group plan. God loves you individually and has a very specific plan for you. Proverbs 14:1 says, "A wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her own hands." What responsibility and power we have through Jesus to build our house. We don't have to tear it down because He's got a plan in His book for us to build a firm foundation. What is common to God's plan for all mothers is that God gave you your children. Children are a gift from God. They are a reward from Him. The psalmist tells us that. In Psalms 139, again, I go back to, "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. You saw my unformed substance in your book. In your book were written every one of those days." Every one of them. "The days that were formed for me, when yet there was none of them." God has known you and I forever. And has loved us always. In fact, there are at least 100 references in the scripture that says we were known before the foundations of the world. I'm trying to get a pattern here. God has a plan. He knows we were coming, and He's made arrangements for that. God knowing us before we were born, that's such a thought. God has chosen you. He has chosen you for this time, this century. He has chosen your children for you and mothers, you for your children. Now, you may have been told that you were a mistake. You may have thought you are a mistake and messed up. But I want to tell you that's from a human perspective. Your heavenly Father knew your arrival date before this earth was created. And He knew exactly what it was going to be and what planet it was going to be on and what family you were going to be in. And there are no questions about you being made with a purpose and a plan by the hand of God. You have the stamp of God's approval of a person that He needs so badly to change this world. And mothers are one of the best changers in the whole wide world, one of the most influential people. Motherhood is not for the faint of heart, though. I will tell you that. It is a calling from God, a calling that He has called you to the greatest joy, but sometimes it's the deepest sorrow that you walk through as a mother. Sam and I have been blessed with two very lively children born to us. I have many other children born in my heart that I call mine, and they are mine. Now, I know you godly mothers out there would have never had such thoughts as I, but sometime after a very exhausting day with so many questions asked in, their young lives, you would say, don't ask me why again. And they'd say, well, why not? It just kept on. And they had such interesting questions. I remember when Natalie said, "Mom, when worms yawn, do they swallow the dirt?" I don't know. You know, I remember Nate was taking an IQ test, and the teacher, the proctor, came out after it was all over, and he said, there was some very interesting discussions about some of these things, like, she said, one of the questions on the intelligence test was, why do people put postage stamps on an envelope? And you know what he said? I said, no idea. No. He said, because they're pretty. I said, that's right. That's what I tell him every time I go to the post office. Let's get some pretty ones. I said, mark that one on me, not on him. But after some of these exhausting, long days, and you think, I don't know about this, you know, I've turned my children over, looked, searched. I was looking for their return to sender label. Amazon has one, surely I could find it. I didn't find it. I have even thought such things like guerrilla warfare would be a walk in the park compared to what's in this household. I've asked the Lord, I've said, was there a heavenly mix-up with the stork you sent to my house? And the one I say most often, and I still say today, is, God, I think you've overestimated me. You know what I mean? Do I have a witness? The real problem was that I had underestimated God. I'd underestimated his strength, his wisdom, his guidance, being with me every step of the way with the book he had written for my life. God designed mothers to be in partnership with the Heavenly Father. The bottom line here is you can't complete God's plan apart from God. This is one codependent relationship that is okay. And I've also learned in this journey, as I know many of you have, that you, Mama, and God are bigger than any majority out there. That's all I need. And some of you are single mamas, and my heart goes out to you. But I will tell you that God also promises you that he will be a father to the fatherless. You have this partnership. It's all yours. Well, what will I do with what God has given me? God has trusted me with an eternal soul to bring to him. What an awesome responsibility as a parent to know that the ultimate task for me as a mother is to return the child that God has placed in my arms back to his arms as life ends. Some of you have done that way too soon, but you finished the course, and I'm grateful for that. Well, how do I do it? Well, there are essentials in the mother's arsenal for completing her assignment, and you're going to hear this every year because the Word of God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever, so I just have to copy it. It's the same yesterday and today and forever. Here it is. You teach the scripture, you pray, you model, and you repeat. The scripture says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they get old, they'll not depart from that. Let me ask you a question. In a normal day in any American town or city, for 1 week, how much eternal truth does your child hear? Even if your child is in kids' church, and I think we have the best kids' church anywhere around. They're amazing. But even if your kids are in kids' church for 2 hours that week, of 168 hours week, then doing the math, and I'm not real great at it, but doing the math, the odds are 1 to 84 that they hear what they need to hear. Now, that's a long shot that I don't even think a gambler would take. The good news, parents, is that we can change those odds. We can teach the Word of God in our house, day in, day out, week in, week out. We can do that. We can make the difference. We are the influencers of our child's destiny. I believe that with all of my life. The home was the first institution established by God and was designed to be the most influential in training your child. Don't let the world do your job. It's our responsibility to teach our children God's word. Moses instructed the Israelites as they were getting ready to go into the promised land. He said, keep passing down the scripture, keep passing down the stories of the miracles, the miraculous, how God has provided for us. Keep passing them down. Don't let them die. Keep them alive. And then he said in the scripture, he says, teach your children, talking about these things in your home, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on your door frames of your house and on your gates. He's saying every position in life is a teaching moment in the laboratory of your child, knowing God's relationship with them. Every moment, when you go in, when you go out, when you sit down, when you lie down, there's a moment to bring God in the situation. He's the creator of the world. You just look at the world, you have something to talk about. Everything is about our relationship with Jesus. It's so important. Every day, do it. My mother was a master at this. She could bring everything. I don't care if I was talking about an aunt in our house. There was some lesson to be learned about that creation that she could do. Everything, because she knew her ultimate task was getting us into heaven's gates with our Heavenly Father. And she was going to drive that point home. Believe me, the world is knocking at your kids' door every single day. They're knocking them down. They're knocking them around. You need to build them up and teach them the truth so they can go out and stand up and be what they need to be. We have that. We have that from the scripture saying that we can do just that. My parents would remind me of my healing, because I didn't remember it, when I was a baby. I was born hydrocephalic. Water on the brain is the easy name for that. And in the 50s, there wasn't a good prognosis for that. At best is what they would do. They would go in and they would put drains in your brain and seep off the liquid from your head so it wasn't quite so painful. But the outcome was not very good. It was not very promising. It would not be a normal life. However, my parents knew the scriptures, and they would remind themselves. You know, it says encourage yourself, and then when you have encouragement from another, it's even stronger. And they knew by his stripes we are healed. They claimed that scripture for me, and one day they took me in a healing line, and Mom said I was so excited and I was so prepared to have this minister pray over you, this wonderful long prayer of faith and power. And he simply put his hand on your head and said, heal this baby. She said, I was really disappointed in my heart when I walked away. And but over the course of a few days, she saw that going down and down and down and down. And next visit office, the physician couldn't believe what I was doing and different things like that. Now, you might not think I am normal. And I would agree with that, but I will tell you I am healed. The scripture says the word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. That sounds like the best way I know to navigate a dark world. Right there. You must know the truth to be able to walk in it. So mothers and dads and everybody in this church family, it's our responsibility to teach the truth to our kids. Number two, prayer. Prayer is another essential for the mother's arsenal. I will tell you, prayer is a sanity stabilizer. It is. Moms, there's been times you think you're going crazy, and you might be. But he can bring you back because he's the peace speaker. He's a stress reliever and it's a perspective adjuster. James 5:6, that says the prayers of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. Scripture and prayer are like bricks and cement in building the structure, your firm foundation for your child. You get those two things going and you're going to get something going. A firm foundation that they can continue to build on. And that's what I want to do. My mother, as many of you know, was known for her prayers. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Mom lived by Philippians 4:6. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Mom interpreted this scripture to say, if it's big enough to worry about, it must be prayed about. And that's what we did. We were a house that prayed. There are 153 verses in the Bible that tells us the same thing. Pray always. Pray without ceasing is a verse a mother can take to heart, because she's going to need to pray always. Prayer is so powerful. Do not be discouraged when you know that prayer is your only option. I want to tell you, it was your best option from the get-go, and you're just now coming to it, but it was always your best option. It is the God who changes things, especially how we see Him when we pray. When we are looking in the face of God, we are not looking in the face of our problems. And that is a perspective changer. When I can see God's face and I know He has a plan in His book already written for me, I can believe He is going to take me through. The God that gave you your children bends low to hear a mother's prayer. I'm convinced of it. Maybe needing directions or patience or encouragement or strength, wisdom, endurance, or comfort. God is there. I want to tell you, you are never alone. Not one moment, not one day as a child of God. Remember, God has a plan and a purpose just for you and for your child. He's designed it that way. And when you pray, sometimes God gives you the answer right away, Oh, glorious day. I love those kinds of prayers for sure. Yeah. I remember a number of years ago when our son Nate was in the Mathari Valley in Kenya, Africa. And it was a Sunday morning, and we were at church in the Boys and Girls Club. It was before we had moved to this building. And we were in worship service, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit, I don't want to say tap me on the shoulder, I want to say slap me on the back of the head, and said, Nate is in trouble. Nate is in trouble, and Nate is in serious trouble. I knew what God was telling me to do. And so I slipped to the back of the sanctuary there, and because I couldn't sit in the seat, and so I slipped back and didn't want to cause any attention to myself or anything, but I couldn't even stand it there. So I went down the hall to a classroom to pray for Nate, where I could let the tears fly and my petition be made known. I know God doesn't have trouble hearing, but just in case, he heard me that day. I was one hot mess. I couldn't stand still. It was so urgent. It was so intense. It was spiritual warfare, and mamas, we're going to have a lot of that. It was spiritual warfare, and I knew that Satan had plans for my son, but I also knew I was called to the Almighty God that had gave me his son. He could rescue my son. And that's where I was looking. I prayed and prayed and prayed. But now I'm going to make a juncture in this. I'm going to go back to before he left for Africa. When Nate left for Africa, I had problems with that. That seemed like a long ways away from his mama. It really did. And I wrestled with the Lord about this. And I knew if it was the Lord's plan, you know, he would help me with it. And one day as I was praying about this, and it was real hard for me, I said, I felt like the Lord said to me, would you rather have Nate in my plan halfway around the world, or would you rather have him out of my will in your care? That helped me. I knew that God's plan was greater than mine. I also knew that this plan would involve not only Nate growing, but me growing too. Because as we have children, they teach us as much as we teach them. So back to my story. So here I am travailing for my son. As I said, I'm usually a pretty calm person, but it was intense, and I was on the move. After some time, and I do mean some time, it wasn't immediate, I felt the battle was over and I was finally at peace, but still there was no answer when I would call my son. Hours later, we found out the answer to God's faithfulness to this mama. Nate had been in the Mathari Valley many, many times. I mean, that's where he lived right there. Many, many times before without any incident. In fact, Nate seemed to have favor with the people there. What Nate didn't know, though, was that these people in the Mathari Valley, some very rough people, thought he was actually a gun runner, and they feared him. It wasn't fear, it was it wasn't favor, it was actually fear. However, this day was different. Nate went with his African team as usual, but this day there were two American girls that were part of his ministry, Dusty Feet. And when they started to leave to go back to their vehicle, a gang started following them. You could tell that there was plans for the girls. You can tell there was plans for the boys. And the race and the fight was on, literally. To Nate's surprise, just before the team were able to jump into the vehicle, the pack kind of just backed off that was chasing them. I mean, it was an all-out brawl chasing them, and he was a little bit shocked by that, but they just kind of backed off. And then when he got into the vehicle, he turned it on and was able to get clear. Went down the road just a ways, quite a ways, and the car stopped. He was safe. They were able to get a mechanic, and the mechanic asked them where they had come from. And so Nate told them where they had come from. And the mechanic told them that their gas line had been cut, and it would be impossible to travel that far. That couldn't be so. Nate told the mechanic the whole story then of what had just happened. The mechanic said, "Oh, cutting gas lines is pretty common when they have a target in mind to be a setting duck and to get what they want." And so this group backed off, thinking, "Oh, we've got them now, trapped in this vehicle, surround them, it's going to be an easy fix." But they underestimated a God that had high-octane fuel that could get them out of danger. And Nate was safe, and God had answered prayer in a supernatural way. He's saying, "Mama, I told you I'd take care of your kid." And that's exactly what he did. That God does not always give such a quick answer. I'm glad when he does, but he doesn't always give such a quick answer. It does help us grow in those dark times, though. Allison Spear sings a song called "In the Meantime." It's about Job's life and when he was at the top and God stripped everything away. What do you do with the meantime, the time in between? You had the promise, but you don't see it fulfilled. What do you do in the meantime? It's important to look for me. It's important for me to look at the end, just to be able to stand in the middle. Do you know what I'm saying? If God has given you a promise to save your children, and they're living like hell, and you don't see any help on sight, but he's given you that promise in the meantime till you get to the promise, he's going to do some amazing things in your life and theirs. But I'm looking to the end of the promise to stand in the middle. How did Job stand the devastation of all that made life good and it was now taken away? This is what he said. "I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, in my flesh, I will see God." Oh, yes, I will see God. Yes. I know. How did he know? He knew the scriptures. He knew the faithfulness of God. He said, "I know. I'm not going on my feelings because I don't see anything here to be happy about." But he says, "I know." And that gave him what he needed, the faith to stand in the meantime. Mothers, he'll do that for you too. He'll do that for you. Psalms 91, 1 through 2 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Staying in the middle of the meantime does not take understanding. It takes trust. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. For many of us, you have been in, are currently in, are coming out of those meantime chapters. That involves your children or family members. You've studied God's word. You have prayed. You have fasted without the promise being fulfilled. Sometimes it seems the more you press into God, the farther they run from God. I do know God's plan. God says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I want to tell you, I'm partnering with that God. I know what his mission is, and I'm joining the mission he's assigned me, and we're going to be overcomers through the blood of the Lamb. Training your child in the truth of God's word makes prayer a priority. And finally, modeling. Words are easy, but words and action are more convincing. What a blessed, irrefutable evidence my parents' life lived in front of me. They lived a life that was so in love with Jesus that I thought there was no other way to live. You know what I'm saying? They modeled it. They modeled it. I have shared this before from Alistair Begg, and he says this. He says, "Don't point your children to heaven and lead them to hell. Show them with your life that heaven is your destination and it can be theirs as well." And finally, the call of motherhood is a sacred calling. It's a partnership with God. You are entrusted with a child made in the image of God, put in your arms to be given back in his arms. That is one big assignment. Hannah got it. She asked God for a child, and she said, "I will give my child back to you all the days of their life, of his life." She did it. She kept her promise. Hannah trusted the God who gave her the child to be able to keep the child. I want to tell you, mamas, as I've done and many of you have too, I dedicated my children to the Lord. I said, "They are yours. You gave them to me. You're going to instruct me, and you're going to grow me, and I'm going to grow them, and ultimately, I'm handing them back to the one who gave them to me." We're in this together. I'm not doing this alone. We're in this together. But Hannah got it, and Samuel was a bright light in a very dark time. Dear mothers, often we focus on all the snares and pitfalls that are out there. And do I believe there are a lot? I absolutely do. I absolutely do. But my little mother showed me that she was much more aware of the resources of heaven available to her through the Holy Spirit and the power of prayer. That's what she focused on, what she had, rather than what was out to destroy. She was out focused on what God had given her to look at, to know that he was going to bring her children home. She talked very little about the devil, but always talked about the overcoming power of Jesus. She testified day in, day out to the faithfulness of God, to the mercy of God. She rehearsed over and over and over the things he had done in her life, in my dad's life, in our lives, over and over and over again. Although she's not with me this time, first time in 70 years, her prayers are. She went out of this life into her eternal home. leaving an impeccable roadmap and a clear path that I can follow to find her back to my Heavenly Father and my family that's waiting. You can do it too. You can do it too. God has a plan. It's written in His book before you were ever born. And He's going to enable you, since He's the author of that book. And as you talk to Him, He's going to share, this is the plot of the story. This is the next step. And I'm right here with you where I'll always be. Leading, guiding, directing, strengthening the mother that has the mission to take her children with her to heaven.